Listeners, this is going to be an exciting show. Do you enjoy escape rooms? What about food? What would you say if we combined them like peanut butter and jelly? Stay tuned because we are.
Welcome to the iHeart Steam Podcast with your host, Bonnie Kirkley. Bonnie has been working in the STEAM education profession for the past 12 years. Her mission is to share her story with educators like you that love STEM, STEAM, and project-based learning. Currently, she works with a team of educators creating the ultimate STEAM-certified school. Let her share the good, the bad, and the joyful with you in her STEAM journey. Learn everything you will ever need to know about STEM and STEAM education right here. Now, here is your host, Bonnie Kirkley.
Welcome, listeners, to the iHeart STEAM Teacher Podcast, where creating a STEM or STEAM culture in your classroom is life. And yes, today we are going to put escape rooms and food together in an amazing STEAM activity. And I can't wait to introduce to you the STEM chef, Miss Ashy Bandywood. Ashy, how are you doing today?
Hi, Bonnie. I'm doing wonderful. It's so great to hear from you and be with your listeners.
We're excited to have you. And I just have to tell you, that name, STEM chef, it is so catchy, and it just really makes you want to, oh, what is this? What are we going to do here? So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe some of the STEM chef stuff, but if you're willing to give us any tidbits about who you are, who Ashy is outside of STEM chef, we'd love to know.
I would love to share my journey. And you know, you're right. I was actually so lucky that I did not have to jump through hoops to get that domain name, because the STEM chef philosophy that I created was something in the offing for over 2 years before it actually came into being. So I was thrilled that I got that name established to
incorporate. I totally understand that. And I also get that, you know, how it was bringing itself to life for a few years before you were ready to tell the world. I get that too.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about, you know, well, just share the journey with us, share who you are, tell us all about it. We want to know.
Of course. So I'm Ashy, and I am by profession a bioenergy scientist. Jumping into the STEM teaching world was something that happened very, very organically. It wasn't something that I had even had an inkling that I would do maybe a decade ago. And it all was thanks to my daughter, who is now 9 years old. But you know how I live in the Silicon Valley, and Silicon Valley startups always start in the garage.
Totally interesting.
Sorry?
I have to tell you about that on a different show. But I'm just like, ooh, Silicon Valley, I want to know more about it.
Oh, yes. But mine started in the kitchen. So for over 2 years, this idea was just a mother-daughter activity between me and my daughter, who was a toddler, about, you know, four and a half years old, before I took the plunge to really make it into a real thing. And this all started because, you know, how children are just curious from the very get-go. And if you tickle their curiosity, they're going to ask you more questions. And it's like a never-ending a story for anybody yes. who has kids out there knows this. And at some point, I sort of just put on this scientist hat while interacting with my daughter, instead of, you know, just treating her like a child and talking about things in a kid language. I kind of took all her very childlike, innocent questions and turned them into logical, scientific channels to have her explore and experiment with the curiosity that she innately had. So just to give you an example, we were trying to have a bath, or I was really trying to get her to go get have a bath, and the bath water was turning cold and was like a daily ritual. I'm sure a lot of people have gone through this where kids are procrastinating. They don't want to have a bath. And we had the conversation about how the bath water is going to turn cold. Well, if you just say that, it's not quite enough. So I took a couple extra steps, got some candy in the mix, and showed her the principle of thermodynamics in equilibrium by splitting candies and having this abstract concept become reality that she could literally understand and grasp. And before long, we were doing these experiments with hot chocolate and cold chocolate and really encompassing what it means for this science concept to be reality in this child's life. And from there was no looking back. It was one thing after another, one concept linking to another. And she was gaining this foundational, amazing scientific background and knowledge that a middle schooler or high schooler might be getting, you know, over a decade in time. And that's when I decided, again, you know, after about two and a half years of this happening just organically in my kitchen, that it's time to see whether other kids resonate with this, other families resonate with this, if there is a place in the world.
I am.
So that was the story.
Yes. I'm totally resonating with it. And you're just speaking my love language, because I know, and I hate to interrupt, I do it all the time, but I know you you're saying the words I'm trying to get across to so many teachers and even parents out there. We have to make their abstract something they can grasp and something they can understand. And, you know, it's something as simple as with our teachers and with education, you know, for the longest, I did it wrong. I totally did. I would say, okay, it's time for science. But at some point, I asked myself, and this was a while back, do they know what science is?
Yes. And
I just don't think many of our teachers, because they think it's so simple, it's science. But if you ask a child or student to tell you and explain it to you, they will not give you the correct word or explanation for what science really is. They'll say things like animals or explosions. I'm like, actually, no, it's a little bit more than that. And so sometimes we have to go back to that simple concept and make sure we understand that first. And then Absolutely. The questions just start pouring in. Okay, so I'm done with my spiel, but you totally are speaking my love language. And when you said foundations, I was like, yes, yes, yes. All right, go back. Okay, so we are on this journey. And you've realized that she really is soaking up all of these concepts. Okay.
So what happened next? I wanted to really, you know, I was so excited to get this out in the world that I had no preconceived notion about how to start a business or how to actually do this. So in a sort of a pinch, without really having a lot of thoughts about it, I started summer camps very much that summer. And it really resonated with the families, with their kids. And, you know, from kids, you can get absolute, transparent, real feedback, and it's instantaneous. And I knew I hit something right then and there. So that was 4 years ago. And the philosophy of teaching science through cooking and getting these abstract concepts really realized by these kids, you know, from all walks of life and from a pretty varied age range. Typically, I say it's about 8 through 13. That's where it serves the best. However, I've had younger children, older children resonating with this concept. And I'm not going to go through the entire story, of what it is now, but it has been pivoting. The product offering itself has been pivoting, going through things like subscription boxes, which I would send to families, online classes. And now for the last 2 years, I have encompassed this philosophy in escape rooms. So before the pandemic, I actually had a physical escape room that I ran, which ran sort of like a pseudoscience curriculum. Every month, we would have a different escape room. And the fun of it was, instead of me teaching, the kids were teaching themselves while solving puzzles and getting these new concepts suddenly appearing as answers by their hard-earned work by solving them. And because of the innateness of how engaging it was, it felt like time would just zip by. They would learn this, and then they would apply whatever they learned by making a recipe at the end of it. Of course, after the pandemic, I had to make a decision to switch it over to a virtual rendition. And the gist of it, the entirety in idea has completely been retained. And the silver lining is now a lot of kids outside of this geographical area that I live in, which is the Bay Area, California, are now able to try this out. Teachers have been trying it out with their classes in lieu of science lessons, because we have a varied topics ranging from chemistry and physics and environmental studies. So it's been a lot of fun.
That is amazing. So I don't know if you grabbed this from Ashy, but her STEM Chef product is an online escape room that entangles concepts of science and STEM with cooking and food. And I have to tell you, she sent me the detective, I guess it was just detective thing. Is that what it was?
That's right.
It was the detective mystery. And thank God she also sent me the teacher guide and cheat sheet. Woo! And, you know, I have to say that there's a couple of things I wanted to say. Escape rooms have a mindset. So if you've never done an escape room, there is a mindset that you have to start following and a process, and it's totally different than what you think it is. You can very well overthink things. And the other thing is, it is difficult for teachers to set these up because there are so many little moving parts. And I've done a couple in the classroom, and I can tell you, I can only maybe do one every quarter or so, because there's so many moving parts. And so this virtual escape room is a dream because I don't have to set anything up. So tell us a little bit more about this virtual STEM world, like what is out there, what's available, the themes, all of that kind of stuff.
You know, that happened, the idea of escape rooms came about so serendipitously, because at the time I was trying to really make the classes or what I had with STEM Chef online and make it available to a large group of people who couldn't really come for the classes in the neighborhood. And at the very same time, my daughter and I were really getting excited by escape rooms. And this was just, you know, escape rooms being a phenomenon as they are. What I did come across, though, was there were very limited escape rooms which were meant for children. My daughter was even younger at this time, so the repertoire of escape rooms that we had access to was very limited. And it was kind of one of those aha moments where I thought that just the very intrinsic nature of escape rooms is so fun and engaging and entertaining, and it really reels people in and kids in, it is such a shame not to use this as a form of an educational vehicle. And you're so right, Bonnie. It takes a lot of time to conceptualize this. And there are a lot of moving parts because you have to make sure that it's not just fun, but it's also giving information and knowledge in these bite-sized pieces. Another part of it that I was super excited about was when kids or adults, even anybody, works toward something, when they are extra challenged to arrive at a goal, the retention and the memory capacity automatically increases exponentially. So if you're reading something versus if you're challenged to arrive at the same result, you're going to retain that information much more. It's kind of like instead of reading, the hands-on doing, all of those aspects make it for such an amazing learning opportunity and retention. So the nature of the escape rooms and the challenges that are presented help in actually making that information more available, accessible, and memorable over a much longer period of time. So I was thrilled to, you know, incorporate that into the learning aspect. So it becomes, as is, you know, creating escape rooms is a challenge. And then yeah. I have like these three layers where I have to think about the challenge. I have to think about it being very nicely tied into the science. And at the end of it, it has to also really come together very well in an edible form. So it has been challenging, but superbly addicting.
Work on it and then come back to it and work on it and come back to it. You just get to that point. As a creator myself, you get to that point where you don't know what to do next. And really your brain needs a break, and then it'll come to you in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah.
You won't be able to sleep. Have to get up. Has that happened to you?
So many times. And you know, with one eye open and I'm like scrambling for a phone or some scrap of piece of paper to write down the idea, because I know for a fact that when I get up in the morning, it's going to be gone.
And the feeling that you had when you first thought of it is not the same when you get up to go work on it. No. I also wanted to share, you were talking about the capacity of the brain to retain. And I just presented on this yesterday some of the atmospheres that teachers can set up in the classroom to make retention increase. And one of them, I think, also goes with escape rooms, and that would be including emotion. And so with the escape room, you're going to feel some panic and maybe some excitement and relief, so many emotions that I'm sure that also contributes to it.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this point up. You are so absolutely right. That is something that has been an underlying factor in the core philosophy, even before the escape rooms were envisioned. Because if you think about food always induces a warm feeling, a happy feeling, and that kind of serves as a wonderful platform to introduce STEM and science and math concepts, because people who do not come from that background or who aren't introduced to such concepts early on are intimidated by those. So if you present this on a very different sort of a level and bringing in escape rooms with this gamified and warm atmosphere, you are so right. The emotion plays a huge role in definitely the retention, but also the positive feeling towards learning of STEM concepts and these difficult concepts.
Right. So if we want them to finally master some of those multiplication facts, then they need to be included in an escape room where they must use the skill to solve a problem. And then it's done. I mean, they're going to get it. And from there, they compare every other multiplication problem to that one that they worked through during that escape room. And so retention is much higher. And you have to do less problems, not so much practice. So, okay, well, tell us, I'm so interested in this one characteristic of you, which is that you are a bioengineer. Could you just share a little bit about that? Because obviously you are a woman in working in the STEM field. Tell us, because some of us might not know exactly what your job entailed and what you did. We'd love to know about that.
Absolutely. So it was definitely a very exciting time for me to work in the capacity of a bioenergy scientist. And my first love at the time was working on sustainability and environmental science. And honestly, even to this point, that is my love. However, I have realized through my daughter that education is equally, or right now, a little bit more important to me. So all my academic life has been spent geared toward this motivation to work in the environmental sector. And all my decisions to sort of train myself professionally in bioengineering and biotechnology has been with this goal in mind. So when I entered the bioengineering sort of program, my motivation was sort of laser focused. I worked on bioenergy, renewable energy, for implementation on a large scale to really bring about a change in for the climate change. And all of my life as a scientist, I was always propelled to solve a problem. And when you are in the scientific field, in this arena, you are, that is like the fuel that gets you going. There are many challenges that you would face, which is a given. But when you have that goal in mind, when you have the notion that there's that end of the light of the tunnel, it really gets you going. As far as being a woman in STEM, I have to say that I have been extremely grateful and extremely lucky that I have not faced a lot of biases, in part because I was probably in a more protected environment. I have not really been in industry. All my life as a scientist has been spent in academia. And again, you know, that's not to say that there aren't a lot of problems that have been faced before by a lot of my peers, but I have been fortunate enough to be surrounded by mentors and people who I could look up to. That being said, as a woman in any field, and definitely underlying the STEM fields, you have to be assertive. You have to stand up for what you believe in. If you sort of sit down, you are not going to be given the right that you are entitled to. So you need to really stand up for yourself.
That's something that teachers can certainly help with. Which is why I think early STEM is so, so important. We have got to let our students learn how to fail and know that even if an idea comes to mind, every idea counts and you should try them all. And you have to also respect all the other ideas in that same room. So practicing that will give them that stamina, hopefully for later. I hope. I want to find out everything that listeners can use or know to get a hold of SimShift. But before we do that, I want to put a plug in there to teachers listening, because I know that one of the most difficult things that teachers deal with, especially when it comes to project-based learning or STEM challenges, STEM activities, is the collaboration part and the working together in a group. And every teacher will tell you they have issues every time groups get started. Well, of course, you know, they're learning, but the escape room, it is like when you put students in groups, it doesn't matter what group, at first it might, but when they get started, it doesn't matter what group they're working in. When they all start working on it, it's like they totally forget what I'm supposed to be. I'm normally bossy, or I don't like her ideas, or I don't want to share. They break all of those barriers down, and group work is so nice. They work together. They really do. And they listen, because they're all going to struggle and they're all willing to get any kind of hint or idea from one another. So it's a great way to have groups working in your room in a STEM escape room. So what do you think about that? Tell me. I don't know if you want to reiterate on it.
Oh, of course. I could not have said it better. It is so true that groups come together, kids come together, they forget their differences, because one of the factors of the escape room is, like you mentioned before, it creates this sense of urgency, right? So you have to get to this before the time runs out. That's always the back of the mind. So they're going to do anything to get there. And it's amazing how fantastically they work together, how wonderfully they do the team building on the go. They have perfect groups that they create within themselves if they have to sort of divvy up the work. In fact, when I had the physical escape room working, I had a bunch of families where the siblings would nonstop be bickering, and the moms would be thrilled because they really work together in these scenarios. So it definitely just encourages a lot of cooperation for sure. And one other thing I want to mention is I created STEM Chef as means to really democratize STEM education for everybody. So as far as schools are concerned, I want to make sure that I can get this product, this offering, into as many hands as possible. So I have a special pricing for schools and to work with teachers, because I really, really want to empower teachers to help educate, you know, children from all walks of life, from literally everywhere.
And that is a platform I would totally, you know, be knocking on that door every day. Teachers, 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 let me tell you. And the only two things you need to tell them is you don't have to set anything up other than the backstory. And the other thing is time limit. This is amazing because it does more than one thing. First of all, they'll know that they have time for it because they have that time. The second thing is, if your students don't complete it, finally, it's okay to fail at something. And that's how it went. That's how it's happened. And then you get to really evaluate with students. Teachers really actually don't like for students to fail. And we keep pushing and pushing and pushing sometimes until the product or the test is correct or the right score. And that's really not what we should be doing. We should allow them to fail. And this gives you a great opportunity to celebrate that you didn't make it, but next time you might, you know. So when I was mentioning that STEM or escape room mindset, after that first one, you kind of know how to think for the second one. So, and that's the point. But yes, knock on those teachers' doors because it fits their time limit and they don't have to set anything up. They just need to pick out what matches what they're teaching.
Right. So it's wonderful. You are so right about, you know, the power of failure, I almost call it, because unless you fail at something, you're not going to learn a great deal about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was all about the doctorate for 5.5 years. It was,
I know, and that's what they're pushing you through, you know.
Exactly. So you're so right about that.
It's frustrating, I know, but at the end of it, you're like, I wouldn't change any of that because I wouldn't be the thorough, patient, consistent doctor that I am now if I hadn't failed so many times before.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. In fact, you learn so much better through the failure because you know firsthand about what happens if this particular you understand the consequences much better and they are learned for life.
Right. And I may get off on a tangent a little bit, but our education system has got in it, and honestly, it has to start with your colleges, especially your four-year colleges, has got to change because we don't support learning through failure at all. Because we don't allow enough time for it due to the amount of standards that's the word that is the problem, but also the solution. They have too many standards to cover in one area, and that pushes what the teachers teach and their time limit. And so that ability to fail and then reevaluate those failures and go forward with the failure to a new activity. They don't have time for that at all.
In fact, I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what I'm thinking about for a next set of series of escape rooms that I'm building
is based
on failure. That, you know, it's like to get to the final answer, you actually have to, it's like a rite of passage. You have to go through a certain number of failures to actually arrive at the correct answer.
Wow. That's neat. Really neat. And I have great hopes for the future of our education system, but it does have to change completely. And it's got to start with the colleges. And I say that because they drive what's delivered in high school and it just trickles down from there. So if they don't change maybe the platform or the way that we go about getting a degree and so on, which that's just another big monster. I don't know if I want to tackle that one, but tell us, okay, so let's say you're a parent or you're a teacher and you would like to check out STEM Chef. What's available and how do we check it out?
So STEM Chef is actually catering to different audiences. One is the families with children who would like to do the escape room just as a family or like a small little group. We have specific escape rooms for those. We have escape rooms that are built for group activities, whether that's a large group of children working alongside their teacher or just private groups of kids who want to do this as a group activity or even a party of sorts. And all of the different themes are based on science concepts right there. And we're expanding those. We really want to cover a comprehensive STEM curriculum, you know, set to the NGSS standards. We're setting it to the Common Core math standards. We're building all of that for different grade levels. currently it's all packed into one between ages 8 to 13, but we're diversifying that. And we also have STEM escape rooms specifically built for scout groups for different Nova Awards and badges that the Girl Scouts and Cub Scouts do. So that's all, again, you know, packaged very nicely into about a 45 minute to an hour long experience. That's normally how much time our escape rooms take for kids and for grown-ups as well to help and do.
If I was a teacher, what might my students possibly learn while they're doing it?
They are going to learn different fields of STEM. So there will be a glimpse into physics, light, for example, the electromagnetic spectrum, a lot of chemistry, a lot of environmental. We're multiplying those topics even more, but environmental studies, sustainability, a lot is going to be focused on math. So, you know, really taking into consideration the standards, but making them so much more fun. So the way we're doing this is with the math standards, we're taking each category, each vertical, and through the classes, kindergarten through fifth grade, we are literally going to position this as a movie series. So let's say you have an underwater theme for, let's say for geometry, right? Mm-hmm. And then kindergarten will work on this theme, and then there'll be a sequel to it for the first grade and the sequel to it for second grade and so on and so forth. So it's, you know, it becomes very cohesive if they're going to be implementing this over the course of the entire education, elementary education.
Super important.
And then the other part we're going to do is also introduce different professions. So, you know, they get a sneak peek into what is archaeology. So that we've already built one like that. So what does it mean to have a job at the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, working in water treatment, for example? So, you know, what does it mean to be an architect? So all of these questions are going to be answered by solving puzzles by themselves. And they're always going to be rewarded with a recipe to go along with that.
Oh, see, I was about to ask that. Do they all incorporate food? And that is awesome. And they can make that recipe with that group that they go through the virtual escape room with. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And the other part of it is, since the escape room itself is all puzzle-based and you're solving puzzles, that could be done in classrooms. And then the recipe that they get can be part of the homework. So, you know, it keeps the lesson keeps going, sort of a thing. It kind of enforces that even at home. They might do this with their families and they might actually talk about it and learn or retain the information by reiterating it to their
families. I'm sure it would happen just organically without giving it as a homework assignment, which is even better when they just bring it to the dinner table themselves. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, tell us, what are you most excited about right now? If there's anything you're super excited about, whether it's with STEM Chef or anything else, what are you most excited about?
Oh, I am just so excited about the prospect of bringing science to, as you said, rightfully, to the dinner table. I want to make sure that every child is not just equipped, but excited to learn more and more. And that is happening. I can actually see that happening with a lot of my students, if you'd like to call them students or clients, customers. All of these kids have been, it's just fascinating to see them grow and see them just absorb all of this information and apply it to their lives.
if there are any teachers or administrators or even moms and dad at home, especially if you're a mom and dad at home, you know, for the summer, how can they get in touch with you to be able to incorporate STEM Chef with their students or their children?
So our website is gives a lot of information. It's pretty comprehensive. Following us on our social channels. So our website is www.stemchef.com. And STEM Chef, fortunately, is a handle that we have been able to procure for Facebook and for Instagram. We keep creating a lot of fun content on all of these channels. In fact, we also have started a TikTok channel where
I'm on TikTok and I mention it to most of the people who podcast with me and they're just like, and I'm like, no, it's the best teacher PD ever. I just signed up for a teacher TikTok conference. And really, it is. It's such great professional development. And yes. I know there was a stigma with it at first, but it is a great learning network.
I mean, it's like a 30-second, 40-second video, and you're giving them the punch in that really short time. There are so many concepts that we've covered so far. You know, all of them are visual, of course, and then it gives you a quick look into how it's done. We've done a DNA extraction from strawberries. We've done a lot of density experiments, a lot of chemistry, a lot of chemical engineering, and we're going to be doing some architecture things. So a lot of
this. Right now, I didn't know you were on here. And so I'm just like, oh, yay. Right now, you probably heard it like engage because when you open it, the volume's always up. Yay. I'm super excited to watch all of those. Yay.
Wonderful. And one other thing, we actually have a free escape room that you can just try out to get an understanding of how this even works. If you follow us on Instagram, you will be able to get it. It's in the link. It's pretty
okay,
much
in your bio link.
So,
okay, I'm putting that down. This is amazing. I'm super excited and I can't wait to even investigate you even more further than just Instagram and the phone conversation we had a few days ago. But now, would you like to play a game with me and put you into an escape room? Are you ready?
Fun, yes.
Okay, so we are, and I create these little games for all of my guests, and they're personalized to each guest. I don't know how I do this. I literally came up with your game. I don't know why, but I was like, normally the game is the first thing I come up with. But I think it's just because I had a lot of different moving parts today that I wasn't aware of until later. And anyway, I came up with it 5 minutes before we got home. But I think it's going to be super fun. So we're going to play Chopped for the Classroom. And so the theory behind this is like Chopped on TV because you're the STEM chef, but we're not creating a food recipe. We're creating a recipe for a classroom activity. And the scene is you are going to be given three items and you've got 20 kids in the classroom with these three items, plenty of the items, as much as you want. What are you going to do? Are you ready?
All right.
I came up with five and we'll just see how you go. So we'll just see how it goes. So first items on the block, I guess, for Chopped in the classroom, you've got paper, gummy bear, and scissors. What do you do?
Ooh, and can I come up with any activity whatsoever?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So I am going to have the paper. Would I be able to give any design to it whatsoever?
Sure. Whatever you want.
Okay. So we are going to create different 3D geometrical patterns from the paper. And we're going to split the 20 students into teams of four. So there'll be five. And each of the groups is going to work on a different shape for creating a 3D pattern from the paper. And we're going to see which group is going to get the maximum number of gummy bears in that volume.
And just so, like that, volume, geometry, shapes, math. Oh, love it. Love it. Okay. Next on the block, you passed that level for sure. You've got decks of cards, paint, and tiny bug toys.
Sorry, what toys?
Bug toys, like, you know, little insects.
Okay. So we are going to a deck of cards as in playing cards, correct?
Yes. And you can multiple if you need more than one.
Okay. And how many bug toys or just like
as many? It's unlimited. Whatever. I didn't put limits on them. However.
Okay, perfect. So what we're going to do is this is going to be catered to a much younger audience, maybe, you know, kindergarten, first grade. Each of the students is going to get a card, a playing card, and they're going to get the bugs are going to be randomized. They're just going to be scattered or shared among the students. Mm-hmm. And the cards we're going to use are not pictures, only number cards. So mm-hmm. no jacks, kings, and queens, only not even ace. Let's say just 2 to 10. And the toys that they have are going to be subtracted from the cards that they have, the number that they have. So they're going to put a bug on each of the card, on each of those little, you know, the shape of the symbol off the card. And if there's any left over, they will use the paint to circle those and then count how much is left over. And if they have more bugs, then it becomes a more of an addition problem.
And now the teachers are wanting to call you for other ideas too. Okay, final one. This one will be fun. You've got paper bags, Cheetos, and Q-tips.
Ooh, this is interesting. Paper bags, Cheetos, and Q-tips. Okay, well, this can be more of a grown-up, not grown-up, but like a higher grade problem. And this is going to be a probability problem. So we're just going to, there's going to be, let's just divide this into two groups. And one group is going to put in some number of Cheetos and some number of Q-tips. And when you draw the Q-tip and the Cheetos, you're going to start thinking about the probability of the probability of getting a Q-tip or a Cheeto.
Nice. Very nice. I was actually thinking of when I came up with this list, sometimes I would think of things I might have in my classroom or something maybe I've used, not necessarily if they went together, but that one, interesting enough, you can do a pollination lesson with Cheetos and Q-tips.
Ooh, that's super interesting.
Yes. And so it's, you know, when you touch and grab the Cheetos, the transfer of the cheese gets on your hands, or if you touched it with the Q-tip and vice versa. So it's a really great pollination. I was actually thinking of that, and then I just threw the paper bag. Ooh. On there. So it's a ton of fun to do that little lesson.
That's a cool one.
Relates.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Absolutely. Well, that's a neat one.
Okay. Well, you did great. I would say you're the top classroom champion because there's only one.
Thank you. I will take the honor.
Ashley, we have totally enjoyed having you today. And I know there are going to be so many people running to the computer and checking out stemchef.com or going to TikTok or Facebook or Instagram and looking up at STEM Chef. And I can't wait to use you in my classroom this year. I totally can't wait. We thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate your time. Is there anything you want to leave us with before you go?
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie. It was an absolute pleasure coming here online, and it was fantastic chatting with you. And I can't wait to continue having a conversation with you. And I would be thrilled to provide you with all the resources for your classes to come in the fall. All I can say really is, you know, this is sort of to everybody, not just teachers, even parents and kids, like open up your mind to STEM, because honestly, you're going to see that it's anywhere coming. And everywhere you go. So just be open to learning 24/7.
We thank you so much. Listeners, she has a great message, and it's one that we all need to really consider. You know, I mentioned changing education, and really there's only one way to do that, and it begins and ends with teachers and parents. So I thank you for coming and joining us today. Before you go, if you want to check the show notes for any information on ASHI and STEM Chef, it will be there. Also take a look and grab that free download of the 9 tips for the ultimate STEM classroom. And I'd love to invite you to join me in the STEAM University Facebook group. I've been teaching lots of these very similar strategies that ASHI mentioned today. And you can come and join us and get in on the instruction. And if you didn't know, the Roadmap to STEAM Masterclass is open for June 28th, June 30th, and July 1st. The first class is full. I'm so excited, but it's the perfect plan to start K-5 at the beginning of the year. So, and it's for any teacher, not a STEM teacher, just a regular classroom teacher. You should start your year off this way because everything else will make sense. I thank you for being here. I want you to love STEM and love or STEAM, whichever. Love it and teach it and share it with intention and impact. Thanks again. I have one question for you. Do you iHeart STEAM too?